WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in third and final hour of the program here on Wednesday morning. And in the last hour, we were talking about this story of the West Bridgewater Market Basket where some women were arrested after allegedly shoplifting, well, assaulting some store employees after they were allegedly caught shoplifting. Some lobster meat, some ribeyes and some truffle butter. So sit on that because we're going to get into that in a moment. And then also we talked about this Facebook group that has popped up, as many others are. As I've been telling you, there's individuals, organizations, businesses that are trying to find ways to help people deal with what feels like it could be an impending food crisis here. When SNAP benefits are not paid out on November 1st. And so there's, again, no matter how you come down on it, no matter who you want to pin blame on for it, you know, these people are just looking for a solution. They're just looking for a way to help. And one of those ways is the creation of this Facebook group, Buy Nothing Community Food Share, South Coast Mass. And so there's already just about 2,000 members in this group. And the idea is that it is there for people who need food and there for people who want to supply food, a way to kind of connect them. And it might be something as simple as, hey, I made too much, you know, American chop suey. Can somebody use some? And this is the real kind of neighbor helping neighbor dynamic that we need in the times of these, you know, divisive things that go on. And so this is something that is people saying, forget about depending on the government, forget about letting food be a political football here and letting SNAP benefits be a pawn in the warring sides of government. And instead, let's just find a way to get people fed. Or let's find a way to help people help that want to help. And so that's why I think, you know, this group and others like it are going to start to become more and more necessary as this continues on, if it continues on. It doesn't seem like there's any end in sight right now. So this is going to be the approach that people take, you know, putting things in their own hands and trying to help each other. So Buzzards Bayer sent in an app chat message and says, would you agree that people on food stamps should not be eligible for lobster, prime ribeye, and truffle butter? Well, see, I don't know. One thing that I do agree with is that, you know, food stamps shouldn't be used for foods with low nutritional value. That is something that I am in support of everybody that feels that same way. You know, if it's not, I don't want to use the term healthy food because I think people mistake that to mean that it has to be like a salad or fruits and vegetables or something like that. I think, you know, healthy food could be, you know, box of hamburger helper. It's not the highest nutritional value, but it's not the worst thing for you either. So when I say that it should be used for no low nutritional value foods, you know, I'm talking about things like candy. I'm talking about things like soda. I'm talking about things like, let's see, what else is, I mean, even, well, I guess maybe ice cream, things like that. You know, you're not going out and getting a big sheet cake. But then by the same token, what if it's somebody's birthday? And they have this assistance. Shouldn't they be used that to buy somebody's birthday cake? So, you know, you see some of these, you know, different scenarios. But anyway, the bottom line is I agree that it should be for things that have a nutritional value. But that being said, I don't know that we should regulate it and say, yes, but you can't use it for a steak. You can't use it for a lobster. Because it's not like those people who are getting the benefits are going to buy a lobster and then they turn around and say, oh, you know what? I used my SNAP benefits on a lobster. Can I get some more? And then the government turns around and says, yeah, here you go. Here's some extra, you know, treat yourself. Like, they're not doing that. They get a certain allotment, and however they use that allotment is how they use that allotment. And I think that there's, you know, again, with the exception of obviously you don't want to tell them they can use it for foods that are have no nutritional value. That's the whole point here, is you're trying to make sure people stay fed with nutritious foods. But a steak is nutritious. Lobster is nutritious. And if that's how they choose to spend those benefits, I don't think we should be hyper-regulating. And I don't think you as a person should be standing there in line at the supermarket and seeing, you know, somebody use one of those cards and be like, ugh. So, because it's their choice and how to use it. And if they're going to use it unwisely like that, because in my opinion, that is unwise. You're hurting how much you're going to be able to get. Then, you know, fine. That's their mistake. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Jim. How are you doing this
morning? Good. How are you?
Good. I just wondering if somebody could make contact with the PACE organization. I know their food pantry got cut $3.2 million several months ago, and I'm wondering how they're surviving. And also, they withdrew all the fuel assistance money from PACE several months ago, I think at the beginning of the summer. And I'm wondering if that's been reinstated. You know, this dilemma that we're currently in is certainly unnecessary. These are the people's tax dollars that went to the federal government. Why these folks in Washington are responding correctly when you have, what, 42 million Americans waiting right before Thanksgiving, too, which is seriously unfortunate. And when you start thinking of the individuals, you know, mothers with children, maybe a 70-year-old woman whose husband died a few years back and was forced to go to food stamps and no longer has that ability. I mean, this is pretty serious stuff. And I think from the street end, you're going to see some violence going on because of this. And so I'd encourage people to be careful wherever they are, because when people get hungry, you know, things happen. And there's a lot of folks out here that, you know, are addicted, you know, that were relying on those food stamps. And when it comes time to November the 1st to go to a local mom and pop store and they can't use it, things are going to start happening. So I would recommend people be very cautious in their daily living. And also, if somebody can get in touch with PACE to find out the answers to those questions.
Sure. Yeah, good questions. We'll see what we can find out.
Yep, thanks.
Thank Bye. You. And that is a good point. So I've seen some of these online rumblings of, you know, that people are looking to Robin Hood their way through this crisis. That, you know, we're going to steal from the rich to give to the poor. We're going to go into the supermarkets and we're going to take the food that the people need and we're going to give it to them. Like, no. No, don't do that, because it's not the supermarket's fault that this is going on. I mean, some might look and say, well, the supermarkets charge these prices and that's why people can't afford to, but it's deeper than that. You know, don't blame the supermarkets for this. Don't blame them as the people who are, you know, responsible for folks going hungry. They're just the mechanism where people get the food. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. It's really my weather outside, believe it or not. Mm. And I'm going to do it again. Boy, what a subject to have to be talking about like on a daily basis now. I mean, I see on the internet some of the shots, the video, the shots they call them, and women just going mental. It's mostly comedic. It's funny because they have their eyes popping out. What do you think you're doing, Donald Trump? I'm going to get my snap. And it's all stupid junk because I don't think anybody who's really, really suffering with it, they might come out and say something, but they're not going to do anything that's going to make you laugh like that. Some of them are really sick in the head. What I wonder about is the younger mothers that I've seen in the past, I mean, up until now, I don't mean the mothers that are like in their 30s, they're not too bad, but they're younger. The teenage mothers that are in the stores, and stamps or not, just put the stamps aside. It's what they're feeding the kids junk anyway. If they're using their stamps in there, and I know RFK is making changes. Like somebody said, you can't get soda with it now, but I still see it because I go to the basket a lot and I see them using EBT. They are getting soda and they are getting cookies and ice cream. This is the way I truly feel about it. I raised my kids by myself and I never completely kept all that kind of stuff away. Every now and then, my children, I would bring home one or two bottles of soda or one package of cookies, not anything with all the frosting on it, none of that. And I wasn't even that conscious of bad stuff back then, but I kind of just knew because my parents never brought all that kind of stuff home. So if my kids saw one or two boxes of cereal, it was okay. They didn't go crazy. Oh, I'm going to eat this whole box today. No, neither one of my children ever said anything like that. They had eggs, they had chicken, they had burgers that we made. Most of the time we ate at home. We did go to McDonald's once or twice. When that McDonald's was downtown, I'm sure you might remember the one. You're young enough, there was a McDonald's there. It's not open there now, is it? I haven't even looked.
No McDonald's downtown.
Yeah, we went there. They had like a waterfall when you first come in. People would throw pennies in there and nickels and stuff. I remember that. That was a nice thing. I never saw it anywhere else, but they had it there. But the older mothers that I see with kids in the store, and the kids are already like 10 or 12. Now, you would think that those are the kids at that age that would be yelling, Ma, I want this, or Ma, I want that. But some of them were very well behaved. It was the younger children that are sitting inside the shopping cart itself. They're the ones that are yelling at the parents. I want that. What bothers me is when I see the shopping carts that are full of the cookies and the cereals and the sugars. And you can't keep honing in on people, but it just makes me sick when I see. I want to say something. And I did back in the beginning when I started realizing how much poison and stuff is in different food.
Well, I mean,
but now I don't do that.
Yeah, I would say, I'm going to recommend that you don't say anything and just, mind your business. But it's not. But the other part of it, too, is you got to think about we're dealing with a younger generation that probably didn't have good nutritional experiences themselves. I'm sure they got the education in school. I'm sure like they talked about, they had the unit in health class about, fruits and vegetables and all that and the food pyramid, but they didn't have it in practice because they're coming home from school. There's nobody there to cook for them.
Right.
So they're having microwave meals or they're having they can eat whatever they want.
Yeah.
And so that's what they kind of grew up on. So that's the only thing they know to pass on to their children.
And nowadays where it takes two people at least to work and even meet the rent, and never mind the groceries, it takes two people. So the kids come home and no one's there. And it is a horrible story. I mean, way back when I was young and had my kids young, I was careful. I added everything up. I always brought the list, the paper, the pen with me. And my kids kind of knew. And when I hit certain aisles, they would know what we're going to bring home. So they would go run on ahead of me and they would bring it to me. My kids knew what to bring to the shopping cart. And every night, I'd say maybe once every 2 months, I would bring home a carton of ice cream. And they never complained. And like I said, for Halloween, I'm worried about this Halloween. But the mothers today bring the, they're up and down the hallways over here already, and it's not even Halloween yet. But I mean, I'm telling you, my kids will tell you, I never took them trick-or-treating. We had fun at home. We always brought home a good big-sized pumpkin because they didn't cost what they cost today. When I saw the prices of the big ones outside the store, are you kidding me? The most I would have paid, I think, if I can remember right, was $4 and something for a big, giant one. And that would go on the table with a big piece of cardboard, and they would make a mess, cut it up. They had fun while I was making the cookies.
But trick-or-treating is still part of childhood.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. I'm not saying that no one should do it. I'm saying go to your family member's house, because today you don't know what you're getting anymore. I'd be afraid if I actually took children trick-or-treating today, because as they're walking along, going to house, they're digging in the bag. They want the Reese's out of there. They want to start eating them.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think a lot of that's overblown, you know, especially if you stick in your own neighborhood, and if you live there for a while, you know that you can trust the people.
Yeah, you go to the ones that you know. I advise doing that, but I mean, my kids never missed anything. They would tell you that. I made up different stories every year, and I don't even know how I did that, but I did. And I never thought in advance. We'd just sit down, and boom, we'd start talking. And when it was all over, they'd be watching TV, cartoons, movies, whatever it was. And my kids didn't miss anything. They'll tell you themselves. I had a friend of mine, and I've known her 65 years. Oh, you never took your kids trick-or-treating. Ah, they missed out on it. No, they didn't. Go talk to my kids. Go ahead. My kids wouldn't trade it at all. We had a lot of fun. And earlier in those years, we never had a car. We went walking everywhere. We went to the grocery store walking. I mean, it was fun, though. It was closeness. It was togetherness. And they had their chances to tell me stories that they made up. You know, so I'm sure they did the same things we did with their own children. And now those children, my grandchildren, they're grown up. And I'm sure they didn't miss anything. I'm just happy that when I did have my children, it was at a time when it wasn't as dangerous as it is now. It wasn't perfect, but it wasn't like it is now.
All right.
So thank you for taking my call, and have a good Halloween.
You as
well. Are you going to go trick-or-treating? What would I get if I went trick-or-treating at your house?
You would get nothing, because I probably won't be home.
I'd have to leave you a nasty note.
I don't think I'm going to. So I'm staying overnight at the Daniel Webster Inn tomorrow night. So I think I'm just going to stay on the Cape a little bit longer. So
you're just a little boy at heart doing that kind of stuff, huh?
For sure. No doubt.
All right. Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
And let me take another call here before I got to go to a break. Good morning. You're on X on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Gilly Sackfield.
Morning.
You know, I'm going to change the subject to city council.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, how can I put this? You know, back in February or March, you had a city councilor that went off on your radio station that he got treated illegally, and he got accused for stuff that he didn't do. And that councilor was Brian Gomes. And he said to the people out there, he wants to come on your program. That was back in February or March. You remember that?
I remember. I don't remember him saying he wanted to come on my program, but I remember he saying he wanted to come on the air.
No, that's a radio station. Yeah. When I say you guys, I put you all together. Your station. I'll just say your station, but I know you don't own it. So don't correct me when I say your station. Do you remember him coming on and making a big split that he got fired illegally and all that, and he wants to come back and try to tell people how it happened and everything? Do you remember that?
I do.
Okay. Why hasn't he made a point to try to clear his name?
My guess, and I don't know this for sure, but my guess would be that there's still ongoing, you know, he's still trying to fight that legally, and as such, you can't come on the radio and say something about it.
Excuse me. Did he get any proof? I'm under the impression, and you know when I say something, but the bottom line is, he did hire George Leontard to get his job back. He never got the job back. And he's still public safety. He got fired for sexual harassment by a hospital and didn't hire him back with a lawyer like George Leontard. So that case is already out the window. Don't say the thing.
There's an appeals process. They're probably in the process of appealing that.
Probably. Show the facts. Get on the radio and say, I'm appealing, and here's the facts. He's talking out of his keister. I'm telling you, he's talking out. The bottom line is, he's public safety, and it's election time, and he should be held. And the only reason this hasn't gone to court, that people out there know that the lady that made the accusation settled with the hospital for a lot of money. So she can't talk about it, and she can't bring up the charges. So I don't want to hear it's in litigations and everything. Show us proof. When I say something about somebody, Tim, do I come over there with papers and pictures to show you what
you
I'm
do.
Going to talk about?
You do.
Excuse me? Okay.
Yes.
So why can't they do this? They're an elected official. How much you smoke? Everybody out there thinks I'm an idiot. But I have the facts. So now, why does the need come on your radio, demand to come on? You guys always say, any politician that wants to come on this radio, he's welcome.
Maybe because in the preliminary election, he was the third highest vote getter. So maybe he doesn't think that anybody cares about this as much as you seem to.
Oh, I don't count, right?
No, I'm not sexual saying that.
Hold on, Gilly,
that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that that might be what he is thinking. I'm not saying that that's the case.
Why are you in his brain? There's plenty of room in that head of his for people to go in there.
It's called a conversation. Okay. I'm just trying to give you reasons why it might be. I'm trying to speculate on this.
Well, we're going to speculate. Well, let me speculate then. If that's what the people understand... It's sexual harassment. You see it on TV all the time with all the stuff that you see. Ladies are being treated like a piece of garbage. Ladies, I'm talking about. Who is he to get fired for sexual harassment? And then the people got the nerve to make him public safety without no explanation? If that was me or anybody else out there with a piece of heart, they'd be banging on your door to come in the radio and try to defend themselves.
I'm only just for the sake of conversation here. I'm trying to look at the possibilities. And, you know, hasn't he already been reelected since this all came out in the first place? So maybe he's just not concerned about, you know, what the perception is.
Oh, really? So in other words, telling the people to go watch themselves.
No, I'm not saying that's what he's doing. I'm just speculating.
He doesn't care about the people, what they think. Because I get most of the fools out there voting for me. I got them beat. That's what he's trying to tell the people. He made a big stink on your radio, and you're supposed to trust a politician? You know, they're already having the problems and everything. I'll give you another example. You have Ian Ebrew running an ad on your program. Okay, about how he helped a lady that got evicted and got her a place to live. Am I right or wrong? Isn't that the one?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I got evicted out of Trip Towers because I complained to Steve Beauregard in housing that they had shut the bathrooms down, the handicapped bathrooms, since 2014. I got there in 2018. 4 years, the handicapped bathrooms were shut down, where they were getting money from the Boston, from the state.
I got about 30 seconds here because I'm late for a break here.
30 seconds. He's running an ad about how he helped a lady. I went to him when I got evicted. He didn't help me. So why is he put? There's a lot of other city councilors out there.
Maybe people don't want to help you because they know you're going to come on the radio and attack them, even if they do.
But I'm attacking with how about a lot of the people that keep their mouth shut and they're out there? I get the cojones to come and tell you what it is. But
fair,
let me say one thing about
fair point.
That, okay, I know it's a fair point. You know that most of the people that I speak for have come to me because they're afraid to open their mouth? But the thing is with Ian, there's a lot of other city councilors that have helped people like behind the scenes and they never try to take credit like that. Why is he putting something like that as an ad? That's the part that I'm
listen, I don't know, but he wanted to have different ads and different voices in his ads, and as somebody who listens to the ads all day long, I welcome that idea.
I don't see any other ad that he's running except that one.
No, he has one. He has one where he's speaking. He has one where his daughter's speaking.
I understand this issue. I just want to remind the people out there, you know, and I even questioned the sheriff when he worked at the House of Correction with the racial slurs that he made.
Yeah, I think we're getting into too many different things. I've got to take this break.
You know, I just want the people and the ladies out there, Brian Gomes got fired for sexual harassment. That don't mean nothing in an elected official. He's not just a joke.
We'll find out on Tuesday, I guess.
Well, I know people are going to still vote for him. I know people.
But
are
listen,
still...
I gotta hold you there, Gilly. We gotta.
I understand the situation. I just want to bring that thing. There's a lot of other city councils out there. They've done things behind the scene to help people. They don't have them come on the radio and say, why do you have to bring it out? You haven't helped them. You didn't help me. I went to them.
All right. I'm holding you there. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day. I got to get this break in, and I'll skip the news because we got some callers that want to get on. So callers, hang on. Let me get this break in, and we'll take your calls as soon as we get back. Sorry, Mike, we're skipping the news.
Broadcasting live from the Carefree Home Studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your local family-owned home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com to make your house a carefree home.
And I've got one line open at 508-996-0500. Before we jump into those calls, though, upgrading your home's energy efficiency can feel overwhelming, but with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions, whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high efficiency heat pumps. They even navigate the rebate process for you, making it simple to qualify for savings up to $16,000. Trust the team that knows the programs, the products, and how to maximize your comfort and savings. Visit C2SEnergy.com and let C2S Energy do the heavy lifting. All right, let's go to the phones here. 508-996-0500. You are next on WBSM.
Yeah, good morning. Myself, I'm a conservative, and if people, you know, recognize my voice, I think they'll know that. But I'm totally disgusted with both sides of this shutdown. And there are many, many, many people in this country that rely on these food stamps to eat. We know there's fraud in every part of big government when you're doling out to millions of people that are going to be people that cheat the system. But I want people to pay attention if they don't resolve these issues to, if you have the means to go to your church or your local people that, you know, pass out food and donate to the pantry or bring food into the pantry, because there are going to be people who are truly going to go hungry without their food stamp supplement. And the bottom line, we're all in this together. Okay, we're all in this United States, and we all want to have a good living. And I don't want to see any of my neighbors or anyone in my community go hungry because people in Washington on both sides of the aisle don't have common sense to come to terms with whatever their disagreements are, and who knows what they really are. That's all I want to say, and I hope this is resolved so people can eat and be happy and healthy. Thank you.
All right, thank you for the call. And just as an update too, the group we were talking about, the Facebook group, I heard back from one of the admins, actually from the founder of the page, and we're working on trying to get them to come on tomorrow morning and join us to talk about that initiative and what you can do to be part of it. 508-996-0500, you are next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I am not Gilly Safiolas. Just wanted to put that out there. He's one of the guys that I wouldn't want to be sitting next to in a bar after having a couple of drinks. I don't go to bars anymore, but anyways, the food stamp thing, it's interesting, kind of, and it's sad too, watching people panicking about it. And I understand a lot of people really should be panicking about it, and they really do depend on food stamps as that little extra to push them over the top so they can have something nice instead of eating rice every night. But you know what? I'm on food stamps too. When I get my food stamps, I get a 10-pound bag of rice. I get a box of spaghetti. You know, there are responsible ways to use this money that will stretch it out. You spend a lot of time on Facebook, you know, and YouTube and stuff. And you see them, I think we've all seen them, about people bragging about abusing the system. You know, you got a shopping cart full of Cheetos and Ho-Hos, you know what I mean? Instead of responsible buying. And like that stuff's, I don't feel bad for those people.
Yeah, but are those videos even legitimate, or those are just people who are again, who are trying to prove that there's this fraud going on by making fake videos?
You never know. You know, I don't know.
Because I'm pretty sure if somebody was actually doing that and cheating the system, they're not going to be putting it out there on social media.
You really put too much credit you give people too much credit. But I don't know whether it's authentic or not. It's sad to see that kind of stuff. And but there are responsible ways. I mean, you've been homeless, right? I think you've said in the past.
I have on a few occasions when I was younger.
Right. Yeah, me too. And we learn through adversity ways to survive. You know, and going out and spending $100 on junk food isn't how we survive. That's how we die. And I don't think that the government should be subsidizing that. You know, there should be a certain limit to how nice, you know, these gifts should be. I don't know how generous the government should be in taking care of people. Sure, give them a 10-pound bag of rice, but not a cart full of ho-hos, you know, because people don't need the ho-hos. They could use the rice. I mean, a billion Chinese people can't be wrong, or Asian, you know what I mean? You know what I mean. But there are responsible ways to make sure that we have enough nutrition in our daily lives to survive, you know, food stamps or not. And I think that we've got to kind of get back to that. And you know what? Back in the 60s, 70s, we hear stories about people in the neighborhood were embarrassed because they had to rely on food stamps. I think that there's a need for that, for people that, you know, if you can do better yourself without that help, do it. So there should be a little bit of self-consciousness with it. Like, you know, I feel bad. I'm going to try to do better, but there are so many people that are just used to having that safety net.
Yeah, no, I can't agree with that. I can't agree that there should be any shame factor in needing assistance.
Well, I'm not saying public shaming, but just a person, you know, inside yourself. You know, you're just kind of humbling yourself that, yeah, you know, I shouldn't need this. I can do better.
You just said that you get assistance. Do you feel that way?
I do. I said I know I can do better for myself. I'm very thankful for what I have, but I'm not out buying those ho-hos and buying lobster every time. I'm buying stuff because I know that it's not permanent. And that I can do better. So I'll go out and I'll buy a dozen cans of soup.
I guess the question is then why don't you do better?
It's all a process, working at it, you know?
And that might be where other people are in the process. That's why I say I don't think that they should feel shame for it. You know?
Well, it's the recognition that we can try harder. We can fill out more job applications. We, you know, instead of being comfortable where they are, because the government is going to be there to take care of you no matter what you do, you know.
All right, I'm gonna hold you there because
my thought on it this morning.
All right, thank you for the call. Let's try to see if we can run the table here and get all these calls in. Although I will have to take a couple of breaks here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Oh, so anyway, I don't agree with Ian Abreu's ad either, because I've called him and he never returned a call. So, you know, it's just overkill. And, you know, they pump these ads up like they're so great. Whatever. What else are you going
to
do?
Well, right? What do you want to do? Take out an ad and being like, I'm Ian Abreu, don't vote for me?
I didn't say take out an ad. I'm just
teasing you.
I'm stating what he's done to me in real life. So, like I said, he didn't return a call. He got in because he knows a lot of people from the beginning, and it just grew on that. It's who you know. He's connected. You know what I mean? He's trying to get his other job in Acushnet, which is greedy. He wants this one in New Bedford plus the other one in Acushnet.
But this isn't a job. This is an elected position. That's different.
It is. He's going to get something out of it. It's a pension. He's not doing it for free.
It's a job. He's trying to get a job to support his family. I don't agree with you that you can't do that. That he's trying to get a job to support his family.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm not voting for him, so let's put it that way.
And just to be fair, I'm not defending anybody, but just to be fair, your experience with him is not what I usually hear. Usually it's the opposite, that he does get back to people, and that's why he keeps getting the votes that he gets.
Not really. The other thing is,
what do you mean not really? That's just your experience.
Right. Now, I can say what I want to say because it's true. So another thing is, Brian Gomes, he needs to go. He's been there too long, and the attitude is horrible. And I just don't want him in anymore, period. But people are voting for him. I don't know why. I mean, it is true what happened at the hospital. That's all true.
And people voted for him after that, so.
Well, he's pumped up to be something he's not, too. He's been there way too long. He didn't pay his longevity payback. He didn't pay anything on it yet, as I hear.
Well, I mean, nobody was required to.
Well, what do you mean they weren't required to?
They weren't required to give it back. They gave it back because they wanted to. They didn't have to give it back.
Well, he needs to. He's got more of it than anybody. And another thing is, there's another commercial that you're running too on Naomi. I don't know why she's so desperate for that job. I don't understand that. She's got that big lawsuit.
Is there anybody that you like?
They've been in there too long, all of them. What are you talking about?
I mean, Sean Oliver, Leo Chiquette, they've only been in there for a couple of years.
No, he's okay.
All right, that's what I asked. I asked if there's anybody that you like, that's all.
Yeah, I like Sean Oliver.
Okay.
I voted. But, I mean, I'm saying we need to clean house. We need to clean house here. It's the same people over there, and it's a clique. Don't you get it?
All
right. It's who you know, who you're connected to. The old saying, who you know and who you blow.
All right. We already remember when we had this conversation before that you can't say that on the radio.
What? It's about blowing bubbles.
All right. I'm going to hold you there. You have a good day. You got me. All right. Take it easy.
You have a good day. Bye.
All right. I got to get a break in here. Callers, hang on. We're gonna try to get to you, but I got to get this break in. We'll be right back.
Order. Broadcasting live from the Carefree Homes studios, this is WBSM. Carefree Homes, your local family-owned home improvement experts. Roofing, siding, windows, and more. Get a free quote at carefreehomescompany.com to make your house a carefree home.
Back to the phones, 508-996-0500. Good morning, you're next on WBSM.
Yes, good morning, Tim.
Morning.
Hey, I'm listening to all these bleeding hearts calling up about what's going on in Washington. You know, when am I going to hear from somebody that's going to call up that's working like me? I'm 72 years old, and all the other men and women out there that are working, so these people can take their food stamps and go to Market Basket and every week get a basket full that's ready to fall over the top and get their groceries. And if they can't make that last through this, there's something wrong. They have to have excess food somewhere. And, you know, the working man, the working woman gets no credit whatsoever helping these people out. And, you know, I'm getting a little sick of it. When you got to get up 4 o'clock in the morning and go to work, why these people call up your station and they're worried about getting their palm trees in off the deck.
Well, I mean, come on. That's unnecessary.
I think it's like 40% are on food stamps in the city of New Bedford. Am I correct?
Yeah, and a majority of those people work. And a majority of those people work full-time jobs.
Really? Where'd they get those statistics from?
I can't tell you off the top of my head, but I was reading the statistics the other day. I might have been in the New Bedford Light story. But so people...
They said they work.
Yeah, most of the people who receive this assistance receive it as a gap filler. So it's a subsidy. It's not designed to be this is paying for everything. It's designed to we're going to help you with your food so that you can afford to pay your rent or so that you can afford to pay, you know, the health care or the other things that you have to pay. So many of the people who receive these benefits might be, you know, single parents. They might be people who are caring for elderly people and, you know, those elderly people are the ones receiving the benefit for the family. So there's a lot of people who are actually working and that this is, you know, you just had a somebody call in and say that they're receiving the benefits. I don't think he's sitting around, you know, just collecting government money and doing nothing.
Well, we don't know, but yeah, I'll give you that.
Are there some like you're describing? Of course, but that's not. I don't think that's the majority of the people.
Now I listened to an audio taken from a video yesterday that there was a woman that has three kids, and she says, "If I don't get my SNAP, I'm going to come into your house, and what are you going to do? I'm going to take whatever I want out of your house, and what are you going to do about it?" Man, I'll tell you, this is really getting to a point that, you know, it's dangerous, and we shouldn't be putting that kind of language out there on the airwaves. But,
I would just be careful when you hear things like that. I would just be careful that it isn't, you know, propagandists trying to sway the conversation one way or the other. I mean, when you think about things logically...
It was on a video. It was taken from a video.
Right, but that doesn't mean that it's somebody telling the truth. It doesn't mean that it's somebody that's actually receiving benefits. It just means that somebody's trying to put that information out there, and there's going to be a lot of people who try to stir the pot or just put out videos to get attention because it makes them money on social media.
Now, am I correct? I heard one of those were receiving like $3,000 a month. Is that true?
Who was receiving $3,000 a month?
There was a recipient receiving $3,000 a month in food assistance.
I don't know, but I mean, I guess the question would be like, how many people were they supporting with that money? That would be my question.
Boy.
Yeah, I don't know what the maximum is for the benefits.
Yeah, I'll let you go, but hey. Let's somebody stick up for the working man, working woman out there to keep things going.
All right. You have a good day. And by the way, you know, the folks who are receiving these benefits, I know the caller said, you know, you got to stretch that and make it last. I mean, kind of the intention of buying a lot of this food is to help you buy the things that don't last. The intention is to help you buy things like fresh fruits and vegetables. The intention is to help you buy things like fresh meats. For protein, you know, again, you can argue whether that should be lobster or prime rib or anything, but the idea is to buy like these fresh items, the things that cost the most, the things that so that when somebody in need goes to the store, when somebody who doesn't make as much money goes to the store, you don't have to just buy a bunch of pasta and pasta sauce and just carb out for an entire month. You know, the idea is that you can have a balanced meal and have those nutritious fruits and vegetables that you're supposed to have, and those things don't last. So even if somebody went and bought, they spent all their benefits on those at the beginning of October. They don't have those at the beginning of November to say, now I can stretch those through. So what's going to happen is the people who are going to eat are going to be eating less healthy things, which is going to lead to more health issues, which if they're getting subsidized health insurance, that means more that you're paying for to take care of those people because of that situation that they were in. So something to keep in mind. I got to get this last break in. We will be right back. I got like 20 seconds if you want to try to get it in there.
Tim, 20 seconds. I just want to say, I kind of agree with both of the last two callers, but there's nobody getting no $3,000.